Of you here tonight as we in our midweek come to recharge, kind of set our sights once again on spiritual matters. We do it throughout the week, but we enjoy this time together. It's good to have Wade and Jackie back with us tonight, like old times, and thankful for their presence. We tonight, as we study, are going to be looking at the last chapter of 1 Peter. So you can turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 5. And Peter here has just discussed some things relating to the elders shepherding the flock. And he begins then to speak to God's people in general. And it's interesting, he tells us things that relate to looking inward, first of all. And then he tells us some things relating to how we should look upward to God. And then he tells us some things about looking outward around us at dangers that will always be present. So we'll look at these three things tonight in these few verses that we'll be looking at. Beginning in verse 5, he says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time." So this reflects the idea of looking inward. Each of us need to grow and develop this characteristic of humility. This is something that Jesus emphasized. And we know during His ministry, His own life was a demonstration of humility. The very fact that the Son of God, that deity, would come and become human, become flesh, serve mankind, die for mankind, is a demonstration of humility in action. But of course, we remember also what Jesus did before His death. He washed the feet of His disciples. That was an act that was carried out by a servant, even a slave. But Jesus, the Master, does that to His disciples. And His disciples realized how wrong that was, or how strange that was, that Jesus would do that to them, to the degree that Peter said, "Lord, don't do this to me. I need to be doing it to you." But Jesus insisted, and Peter understood what he was talking about, that this was a lesson, and this was an important idea that we all have to embrace. The idea that is expressed here. Even though he's just been talking about elders, this in verse 5 when he says, "Younger people, submit yourselves to your elders," it's speaking really about younger people submitting to the older people in the congregation. And then he says, yes, all of you, everyone, be submissive to one another. So he includes the older being submissive as well to the younger, just in the sense that it fits in with what Jesus taught. If I am the master and I wash your feet, those of you who are my disciples, then you need to do that to one another. And all of us are brothers and we're sisters in Christ. Though he does point out the very fitting nature of showing respect, those who are younger, toward those who are older, and be submissive and serve each other. In fact, he describes it as like clothing yourselves with a garment. You put on humility. You wear humility. Humility is something that we should put on but never take off. You don't go to work and then put off humility. You don't, go and associate with certain family members that really can get under your skin and put off your humility then. We always clothe ourselves with humility, consistently, always. We don't take it out because, he explains, here's why. God resists the proud. Do you remember back in Proverbs where we were talking about this, the discussion in a few verses relate to things that are an abomination to God? Seven things. It begins with a proud look. Pride has never been something that God approves of. It has always been that which is disdained by Him. It was tied to that which caused the devil to fall. He was lifted up with pride. In fact, when Paul writes concerning the qualifications of elders, he says that an elder should not be a novice, lest he be lifted up with pride, lest he fall under the same condemnation that the devil did, because he fell in a fall relating to the pride that he had when he was lifted up. But here, God, we're told, resists the proud, but he gives grace. His favor is bestowed upon those who humble themselves. So here's something I want, you certainly want, the favor of God. In part, it comes if we will be a humble people, always willing to be like others who've walked in this way. Moses was one who was very humble or meek, as the Bible says. A great leader, but very humble. Therefore, he says, Peter does in verse 6, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. In other words, since this is the way that God views people, proud versus humble, therefore, be humble. Humble yourselves under his great hand, so that here's what he can do. He will lift you up. He will exalt you. And here's an important phrase, in due time. There will be a great glorification, a great lifting up. Paul writes about it in the book of Romans, when on the final day, the righteous will be glorified together with Christ. There will be a great glorification. This is going to happen, though, only to those who humble themselves. So when it comes to looking within, humility should be present. Do we find it? Are we humble? Do we clothe ourselves with humility wherever we go, whoever we're with? Are we really and truly willing to serve anyone, just like Christ did? That's a part of humility, which is an inward trait. But then notice what he says concerning looking above. In verse 7 he says that we should cast all our care upon him, for he cares for you. The life that we live is going to be at times, there will be moments when we feel the weight of cares upon us. Now there will be little cares, things that are troubling to us, but then there will be large cares, great weights of burden that are hard to bear. And what we're told is, take these heavy weights, take these burdens that are so troubling to us, and cast them on the Lord. Let him carry those weights for you. And the only way we can do that is if we have within our hearts great faith and belief in God. Because when you really reflect upon that idea, the only way a troubling matter can seem to be lifted, if we in fact do give it to God, is if we believe that God is going to do something about that. If we are truly convinced that God can handle this matter for us and he can relieve us of this burden. Now, it doesn't mean that any and every struggle or burden or suffering that comes to us, God is going to very quickly remove. But he's able to do that if it's his will. But it may be that the care that we have is a care that God is not going to remove, but he's going to help us bear. Because sometimes that's what it is. Paul had to keep his thorn in the flesh. God may say to us, not, I'm going to take it away, but I'm going to help you with this. I'm going to be there with you each step of the way to help you with this load that you have to bear. And so we need to look above when it comes to the cares of life, because God is our helper in regard to those things. But then the third and final thing we notice tonight here, beginning in verse 8, Paul says this, and it relates to looking about us. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I guarantee you, there are people in certain parts of the world that are always vigilant to be looking around them. Places in Africa, you know, they're walking through this tall grass, bush places, and there are wild beasts that are lurking in those tall grasses. And people are very watchful. They know they could die in a moment. Those great cats can move so swiftly, you won't know they're there until they're on you. The devil is described as this lion roaring, seeking to devour us. He's an adversary that we need to be watchful for. And the way he comes to us is in the form of temptation, the snares that he uses to entice us. using our own desires that God has created us with and saying, you can fulfill it this way, but in actuality you can't. And most of the time we know it. But still, He tries to ensnare us. He is wanting to destroy us. The very cares that we just read about, He'll use those as well to try to destroy us. So we have to be watching for Him. He is a very powerful adversary. But we're told in verse 9, notice, resist Him. So here He is offering us the temptation, sort of like with Eve. You know, He tells her, you will not surely die if you eat this. So Satan will try to say to us, it'll be okay if you do this. And so in essence, he tries to get us to reason through why this sin is really not so bad. But the Lord tells us, you resist Him. He'll come, He'll entice you, He'll seek to discourage you. Whatever He uses, resist Him. Don't allow those human feelings tied to the fleshly body to overcome you, to seduce you, whatever it may be, but you resist Satan and his efforts. You be what? Steadfast in the faith. So you're standing. You're standing upon something that is immovable. You're standing upon something that is a rock-solid foundation. Faith originates where? It comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. So you stand upon that solid foundation, and you can resist Satan. You're clothed with the spiritual armor that God gives you because you know the fiery darts of the wicked one are coming, will come, and won't stop coming. But you can resist him, standing upon the solid faith that you have in God and His Word. Knowing, he says this, that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So here's the thing to think about. What you go through, others are also going through, have gone through, and will go through. God is helping saints throughout the world to conquer and to overcome this enemy. And He is here helping us each step of the way as well. These are encouraging things to think about. And Peter wants us to remember to look within, clothe ourselves with humility, look above when the care comes, and know that God is our sure and certain helper. And then always be watchful looking about because Satan, he's always there. But the Lord is our helper to overcome him. Tonight, if you're not yet a Christian, realize that the Lord wants you to reflect inwardly upon your life and upon where you stand before him. Sin affects every single person. Everyone here has sinned, except the little children who don't understand right and wrong. But comes a day when we all pass that threshold and we're accountable. And then we need to do something about our sin, which we cannot do alone. Only through Christ comes forgiveness. So it's a matter of turning to him, believing in him, that he's the Son of God, and turning away from the life of sin that we lived in the past, living for self. Now we think differently. We think about God's will, submitting to it, and continuing to learn what things are sinful and continuing to shut them out of our lives. And that process is ongoing. But we confess our faith as well, that Christ is the Son of God, and then we must be baptized. That's an essential step to salvation. We've got to believe the truth and then be baptized, having believed that truth, and we are added by God to the church. If you're not a part of that church, we can help you in that process tonight, or if you need the prayers of your fellow Christians, if you've wandered or weakened or are struggling, the Lord is here to help you. We're here to help you. You can come tonight as we stand and sing.